This is File 51. This is Jane McMillan, and she is interviewing Mike Cope. He lives at 200 South Shore Road on Twin Lakes in Taconic. The date is June 17th, 2013. He's going to talk to me about the Twin Lakes Association and Twin Lakes and hopefully Isola Bella, and a little bit about the cabin that he lives in that was built in 1902, I believe. And we'll start with some of the easy stuff. What is your name?
My name is Mike Haupt.
And where were you born?
Bluefield, West By God, Virginia.
And your birthday?
12-18-32, December 18th.
1932. And your parents' names?
Is Harkey and Sis Haupt.
Sis was Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have siblings? Brothers or sisters?
Two sons.
No, your brothers and sisters.
I have one brother, Richard.
And you have two sons.
And two sons.
How did you come to this area?
My grandfather came from Philadelphia up on the train and camped out at 170, what is now 170 South Shore Road. And they spent the summers here. The train would let them off at their house, and they'd get off with the maid and their trunks and spend the summer.
Then you have been coming here since you were a little boy?
Yeah.
Wonderful. And how did you come to this particular house?
Well, this particular house, when it was a rainy day, when I was visiting the grandparents, their friends, the Peachins, who lived here, and they're from Philadelphia, and he was a scientist for DuPont, and they spent the summers here. But when it was a rainy day, grandmother would deposit me down here, and Mr. Peachin would read to me.
Ooh.
And he also had a little crystal radio with antennas strung out in the woods. And we would crackle and listen to that. And I remembered that those episodes as time went on.
I would imagine.
And I said to my wife at that time, if the opportunity ever arose where I could buy the peach place, let's see if we can work it out. And as time went on, that did happen.
How do you spell their name, please? Peachin.
P-E-A-C-H-I-O-N, I believe. And you might be interested that there was no South Shore Road here. There was a Smithy house on Twin Lakes Road, and there's an entrance to this place. And then also, if you look in the woods carefully, there's a fence where they had a vegetable garden, which is now nothing but a tree stand.
Oh, my word.
It's still up there. And the other thing is, they had no garbage collection. So they would take their garbage out in the woods and bury it. And to this day, after a big rain, you can go out there and see, get pill bottles, Salisbury milk bottles, Coke bottles, etc.
Anything the animals didn't eat.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I've taken a picture of this house. Was it originally this large, or were there additions put onto it?
There are no additions. When we acquired the property, we chose to keep it the way it was. We did redo the inside, but we did not change the outside one single.
So the footprint is the same as it was?
Yeah.
What a lovely experience to come here and be read to and listen to the crackly radio. I'd like to ask you about the Twin Lakes. What makes up Twin Lakes? How many bodies of water are there?
Well, actually, there are two bodies of water and the channel. However, when the railroad went through, they put a causeway in, and that made three lakes. So although you call it twin lakes, there's now, most people refer to the big lake, the second lake, and the third lake.
I see. Do you know how many acres the three lakes comprise?
Not exactly. I believe it's about 850 acres, but that would be close, but not accurate.
Close is fine. What is the Twin Lakes Association?
Well, I don't know exactly how it was formed, but years ago, people came and they spent the summer here. They didn't come for just the weekend, and there were no motorboats, and there were very little activities. And it was formed, I guess, just by the neighbors and associations getting together, and as things started to develop to see that they could control the development. That would be my estimate of how it started.
What would be the purpose then? To keep the lake pollution-free?
Yes. We have the Twin Lakes Association, the bylaws, which I can give you an expression of what it's there. It also provided the social life for some of the people here. And they started Twin Lakes Day, and they had it here on our beach and the Hardy Beach. I have a picture to show you of that.
What goes on with Twin Lakes Day?
Well, they have swimming races for different age groups, canoe races for different age groups. They have, for the little toddlers, they started out with the big wash tubs and had races for those people. They've changed it a little bit, but it's still pretty much the same. And then there was a dance. We had a square dance afterwards with the awarding of the prizes for the kids. And it was worked out so everybody pretty much got a prize.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
But one thing that might be interesting, they did have an event that we don't have now over in Morgan Lane in the North Cove there was a very large float with a high dive. And throughout the summer, the kids would practice their high dives, and we would tow it over here, and they would perform and get judged and get points for
For their diving.
For their diving, yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. Excellent activity.
Yeah.
And the lake is deep enough that there was no problem with that.
The other thing the association did is that as time went on, before all the motorboats was sailing races. And we had a sailboat maker who lived on the South Shore, and he made sailboats for many of the residents on the lake. And his name was Earl McKenzie. And he would determine on a Saturday or Sunday if there were the wind and the weather was good for a race. And if it was going to be a race day, and they always started at 2 o'clock, he would, about 10 o'clock in the morning, would fire off this large carbide cannon, and the boom would reverberate around the mountains and let everybody know that there was going to be a race.
Makes sense.
So, around 1 o'clock, you would see people getting their sailboats out, sails going up, and the races always started at the Catherine, or the Reverend Rohrbach's boathouse, which burned down. It was a three-story boathouse with a balcony.
Oh, my.
And the judges the race would start there, and the judges would sit on the balcony, and the race would go from the boathouse halfway down to the buoy on the south shore, down to another buoy where Jeannie Bell lives, then up around the big float, and then back to by the island and back to the boathouse. Since the boats were handicapped at the start, the races were very exciting at the end because we all came together around the island.
Oh my!
And the people would sit on their docks and floats and porches and yell and scream and that type of thing.
It was a great deal of fun.
Oh, it was terrific. Oh, it was very competitive.
Oh my word. What was the Twin Lakes Beach Club?
Well, it was a huge hotel at one time, and I'm not exactly sure how the beach club came into being. However, John O'Hara probably could give you a better idea on that, but the beach club was sort of vacant, and we found out that the state was looking to get some land on Twin Lakes and develop it. So the Twin Lakes Association got together and were able to purchase it, and we issued stock. People bought stock in it, and at that point, we had social events on the weekends over there. Many of the people that are still around remember the beach club, and there were no tennis courts. There was a canteen down by the beach with ping pong tables and Coke machines.
That sounds good too.
And there was a very small house there, which my wife and I, when we were president of the beach club, lived there for 2 summers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a big rock that was still there, was part of the house. Gosh, that was fun. I don't know whether you want names, but the back end of the beach club was so huge that we couldn't take care of it. So, Freddie Miles.
Oh, yeah.
Bob May. Morgan Schaefer. Mike Haupt, one weekend we borrowed their backhoes and trucks, and we took it down, took it over to the Salisbury dump. What's his name up there on the hill?
Oh, Erickson's.
Erickson.
Yeah.
We carted it up to Erickson's, and it burned for weeks up there.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, goodness. Going back to the Twin Lakes Association, is the lake stocked with fish?
Yes, the state stocks the lake with fish. It's one of the few lakes where the salmon breed here, and in the fall you can see the state traps they put out to catch the breeding salmon, and they milk them.
Yes, I know about that. I've seen it done on Bonanza Pamlik.
Yeah, you know, they do it here.
Oh, but I think on Lakeville Lake they do brown trout, not salmon, but they do salmon here.
They do salmon here. Yeah.
Okay. About how many members are in the Twin Lakes Association now?
I believe there are about 380. Jean Bell can give you the exact number. She's our treasurer.
I know. I asked all the same questions of Jean Bell, so you two had better agree.
Well, I hope I agree. Well, change if,
it's
if
changed.
I don't agree, change her. She knows. She's our treasurer.
Oh, she's a sweetheart. She
yeah.
truly is. You had an awfully good story about a beaver that you told me the last time. About blocking something. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah. Regarding the beavers, there is a problem with the beavers, as Curtis will tell you. We've been around here for a long time. There's a pond in back of the old train station, and there's a culvert that goes under the tracks. And
now, this is the train station in Twin Lakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one down there. And the beavers jammed it up. And this little pond started to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it flooded, came right up to the Between the Lakes Road. So we used to walk and hunt back there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down and talked to Bill Pickard, who was a highway superintendent, and Bill was very cooperative, and he hopped in his backhoe and drove over, and we opened it up. Simple as that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Good gracious. You never know what these animals are going to do.
Oh, Bill was a sweetheart. I love him. He and Ray Flint. Well, what a mechanic he is.
Oh, yes.
Jeez. What this town would do without him.
He's a very specially talented young man.
I tried to get Bill, and I used to take care of the wheat harvesting for the town. And I said, Bill, you got to get the residents of Salisbury down here. Have an open house. And let them come down and see what you guys do.
It's
be very private.
But if the people don't know all the work that's going into it, they have no appreciation.
Ray would take parts and make trucks out of them. Take parts and make cars and paint them. They'd pick up all the sharing junk that they had and redo it.
Yep.
The money they saved this town, and they have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we've got a lot of very clever people in town.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And they're very private. But they are very gifted and talented. And fortunately, there are enough people like yourself and Curtis Rand and some of the others that do appreciate the gifts that these men possess.
Bill never said no. He never complained. Well, this weed harvester was a mechanical monstrosity. It was old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always breaking down. Said, Mike, when you break down, you just call me. We'll take care of you. Boy, I did a lot of the work myself. But whenever I needed him,
he's right there.
Right there. No complaints.
Do you still have to harvest weeds out of the lakes?
No. We use what they call a herbicide. We don't use the word chemical.
No, I know. That's a verboten word.
Called Reward, and they just put it in last week, and it specifically kills the milfoil.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't kill the fish. It's safe to it dissipates very quickly. So anything that goes, you don't have to print this, it'll just stir things up. You know, it took us 20 years, $300,000 to get the permit.
Oh my word!
You couldn't use this lake; it was covered. Now, Lakeville Lake, they could use the same thing, but the people over there...
Don't want to.
They don't want it. They feel it's their drinking water or something.
Well, back in 1935, when they were talking about putting sewers around the entire lake because of the imbecile school, if they'd done it then, they wouldn't have the problems with the lake that they have now. But there's a lot of sewage that goes into the lake at this point.
Well, just between you and me, there is a very simple solution to it.
There always is.
And it's state approved. We have to get that approved. It's like a home waste treatment plant, and our sanitation guy, Tom, knows all about it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that it creates is that if people use it, which they could, then they could put more houses on a piece of property for on land. They could have higher density.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep it very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But they could put these systems now are so well, each year they make it better and better. There's no, the runoff, there's no gray water runoff as they used to call it. It's perfectly clear. Go right into a stream, go right into the stream of the lake.
And it's perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. And you don't need any real big field.
Well, that's a good improvement.
And they use them all over. Except for Connecticut. The DEP doesn't want them.
And therefore we don't have it.
And Curtis doesn't want them. I'm talking to him about it. Peter Oliver. And Tom, he knows all about them.
This is Tom Stansfield from Torrington?
Yeah, everyone. There's a lot of new systems out there.
How about a Solabella? Tell me a little bit about that, please.
Well, I can only tell you what I remember from my mother, who knew Miss Alvord.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother knew Miss Alvord, and I used to have lunch together. Restoration of the Stone Tower, we have now a very good publication of the history. I could give you that.
I think you gave it to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I would like personal recollections from you, please.
Well, the only, some of the fun things that I remember is that Miss Alvord did marry, I've forgotten his name, but at any rate, he was a fun, clever guy, and he was annoyed with the taps and the reveille coming from the righteous camp across the way next to the beach club there. So he thought he'd get back at him, and he put some big speakers up in the pine trees and blasted him right back.
Ooh.
For fun, but nothing serious. Other than that, at one time there were no trees. They brought the sheep over on that island,
mm-hmm.
and they have a sawmill there. They have a carpentry shop there, and the buildings. Miss Alvord did put in a new home. Everything is built with the wood from the island.
Oh, my. And whom does it belong to now?
The Hartford School for the Deaf.
Do they use it in the summertime?
Yes, they use it. They have a summer camp there for all the kids. And you can rent and have a wedding or a birthday or...
Oh!
Something, if you have an event, they have enough facilities and to cater things. And no, it's very nice. It's very well run. And we work very closely with the Twin Lakes Association, vice versa. And we, the Twin Lakes Association, has raised over $100,000 this past year for the restoration of the stone tower, which is done.
It is finished.
Well, it's almost finished. It will be. And we put a new roof on the boathouse over here to preserve that. So we work very closely with the Hartford School for the Deaf.
In order to keep everything in good order.
Well, they have a responsibility. When the island was left, as I recall, with an endowment, and they were to maintain the island as is and not do any massive tree cutting and changes.
Is there anything that I haven't covered that you'd like to add to this?
It's probably a lot that you, I can't remember. Other than the daily ritual here was that everybody either paddled or walked down to the train station where the mail came in. There was a mail post office there. And also the party line that went around the lake, the party telephone line that went around the lake to all the cottages, the switchboard was there.
Oh, sure.
And our ring was one long and two short. You heard that?
You knew that. And if you picked up and it was a little fuzzy, there was somebody else on the party.
Oh, you could
hear him. Oh, yeah.
And, of course, there were two tennis courts there. There was a tennis club there. That may have been the start of the tennis club, beach club. Now, that's about it.
Do you participate in any boards or civic activities, or have you in the past?
Well, I've been president of the Twin Lakes Association and on the board for close to 40 years. I've just resigned. I'm sick of hearing from me. And we got to get the new people involved.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And I was president of the beach club for 10 years, I guess.
You've done your share.
Yeah, it was fun. And you meet great people.
Oh, yeah.
People, they should participate more. It's fun. A lot of people say they don't, I'm not here.
They're here.
The communications these days with faxes and stuff,
That's not a good excuse
that's
any longer.
That's not a good excuse anymore.
I thank you so much for your information and your time.
I hope people read it, enjoy it, and continue to keep it this way. That's what makes this place valuable.
Oh, yes.
They don't understand that when they build these big houses. They don't fit in. It destroys the real estate values. We have a similar thing down in Florida. You're fighting the architects.